Our first reading is taken from Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 to 13. And my theme this morning is about how we react to what is happening in the world today, in Ukraine in particular, but all over the world as it affects the whole of the world. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "for I am ruined. I am a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away from you and your sin atoned for." Then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" And I said, "Here I am, send me." He said, "Go and tell this people, be ever hearing and never understanding, be ever seeing but never perceiving. Make the hearts of this people calloused, make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn and be healed." Then I said, "For how long, O Lord?" And he answered, "Until the cities lie ruined without inhabitant, until the houses are left destroyed and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken. And though a tenth remain in the land, it will be again laid waste. But the terebinth and the oak leave stumps when they are cut down. So the holy seed will be the stump in the land." Kath, would you come and read to us? Thank you.
James 1, verses 19 to 27. Listening and doing. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in the mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves, and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world.
Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. And it just took me to the horrors of Ukraine. How do we respond to what we have seen? How do we respond to the dreadful situation that's there? Me, I get angry. I get angry and then I get sad, which may be right. But deep down, I just wish that somebody would never chop Putin. I wish that somebody would take him out, which is probably not very Christian. not very, as we would say in our house, very Jesus-y, not very Jesus way of thinking. So what do we do? What do we do if we can't take revenge, if we can't sort it ourselves? What can we do? I think James gives us three things we can do in life which apply to this situation. Firstly is to be quick to listen. Howard, can you... Thank you. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Be quick to listen. So much of the Christian faith is about listening. Remember the parable of the sower. Jesus said, let him who has ears, let him hear. Romans 10, verse 17 says, consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. Trouble is, we're often slow to listen, and we listen to the wrong things. Now, Jesus was a good listener. Didn't mean that he didn't speak, but rather he listened and then answered directly into the center of the situation, to the center of the issue. Sometimes he didn't answer the questions that people put to him, but he answered rather the question that was in their hearts, because he could see into their hearts. And it seems to me as Christians we need to be people who are quick to listen. Trouble is we listen to the wrong things. I wonder how often silence plays a part in your life at the moment. Silence. First thing in the morning, on goes the radio, then in the car, then at home if nothing else to do, again with the radio or the television. What are we listening to? We're listening to the voice of the world. Adverts that say, buy this and your life will be complete. Get this insurance and nobody will have to pay for your funeral once you've gone. Invest in this and your money problems will be over. Do this and you'll be happy. Get your delivery of McDonald's and you'll have a happy evening. There is no God, is what the world says. Look to yourself and to your own ways of coping. Just a little bit more money and everything will be all right if you just play the right bingo game and you play the right gambling. Or even worse, fake news. The first casualty of war is truth. Now this chap, whose name I can't pronounce, said many, many, many years ago, in war, truth is the first casualty. We've heard it said again and again, and it's quite true. Psalm 73 says something very profound. It says, all this was oppressive to me till I entered the sanctuary of God. Then I understood their final destiny. And Psalm 73 is talking about the fact that the evil people seem to prosper and progress. People who do wrong seem to get away with it. And the psalmist says, until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I understood their final destiny. And it seems to me that that's partly talking about entering into the temple. But for us as Christians, it means entering the sanctuary when we pray. When we pray, we come in silence and we come in quiet and we listen and we understand the final destiny. Speaks of finding understanding and quietness in being still. Remember the Psalm 46, which David read last week. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. The literal translation of that in the Hebrew is shut up. Be quiet. My friends, we need to be quick to listen to God in all circumstances. I remember being told at college about John Wesley's mum. She had 12 children, did Joanna Wesley. 12 children. As you can imagine, she didn't have much time for quiet and space. So what she would do is she would get her apron and stick it over her head. And when she did this, the kids knew that it was time for mum to be quiet. And so they all went shh and went quiet. When we've seen disturbing news on TV, when we hear bad news in our lives, We're often too quick to talk, to complain, to take action. James says, be quick to listen. All this was oppressive until I entered the sanctuary. And sometimes we don't listen correctly. I don't know how many times this week I've said to Ruth, I'm sorry, I didn't hear what you said. Partly it's because of my hearing, but partly because I'm not very good at listening sometimes. This happens again and again because we're not very good at listening correctly. Time and time again, the Bible stories talk of people who hear God. They hear him speak to them. But then they go and do the opposite, like Jonah. Many of you and I will have heard God speak to us again through his word, through the sermon, through our own personal Bible study. But we're not doing what God has told us. God's saying to us, forgive that person. Forgive that person who has done you harm. Trust me for the future. Trust me for what the future holds. Speak to so-and-so for me on my behalf. Do this for me. Stop doing that particular thing which grieves me and upsets me. Give that up. You've heard like I have heard, but we will not do. Perhaps it's because we don't take time to listen correctly again. I'm convinced of one thing, is that we all have very busy lives. Even if you're retired, you've still said to me at times, I don't know where I had the time to work because you're so busy always. Being active and busy is good, but essentially to grow, that as Christians we must make time to listen to God, to be still before you, him. As I said on Wednesday, on Thursday at the church meeting, I shall be going on sabbatical early next year, in January, February, March. And one of the values of the retreat that I've been on before is the time that you spend listening. And I intend to go on retreat again during that sabbatical. And you spend the whole week just listening to God. And it may seem like a very inactive, pointless thing, but it is in fact very, very rewarding. And very, very instructive. Listen to what God is saying and listen correctly. And then we don't listen to each other. Some of the best ministers I've known are the ones who really listen to you. The best leaders that I have known are the ones who, despite their busyness and having to talk to many people, have their full attention on you, not looking on the next person to speak to. You know what I mean? They're looking over the shoulder to see who else is there to speak to. There's a guy that I remember by the name of David Abernethy, who was the minister of Cheam Baptist Church. Very busy, big church. But when he spoke to you, you had the feeling his whole attention was focused on you. It was a marvelous gift and made you feel so important and so very, very special. A gift I'm sure that Jesus had too, that he was able to put his whole attention on us. And we should, as God's people, be people who listen. And I think that I can commend the majority of us here this morning that I know of are good listeners. You listen before you speak. You care for the people in your listening. And the greatest gift of a counselor is the one who is able to listen and not dish out advice. Remember the friends of Job. They came and sat with him for the first period for just 2 weeks. Never said a thing. That's the one thing they got right. Because as soon as they opened their mouths, they put their foot in it and got it wrong. James says, be quick to listen. That's a good key to Christian fellowship. Francis of Assisi, remember the song that we sing? He said it in a prayer much earlier than the song. Grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console. Be quick to listen to one another. Take the example of Jesus. He always listened to his Father that he could listen to others. So approachable because he could listen and he would listen. The Christian who is quick to listen is most like Jesus. And then he says, be slow to speak. Be slow to speak. The old adage is true, isn't it? We have two ears and one mouth. because God wanted us to listen twice as much as we speak. There's nothing more horrible, perhaps, than the feeling we have the instant after we'd said something we wish we hadn't. Whether it's in an argument, or whether it's when we've teased somebody who we shouldn't have done, when we've said something that's been out of place, in jest when we've gone too far, in anger when we've lashed out, sometimes in ignorance when we speak before we think. God says, be considered in the way you speak. Not blurting out the first thing that comes into our heads. The book of Proverbs has such wise words about the stupidity of speaking too quickly. Proverbs 29 verse 20 says, do you see the man who speaks in haste? There is more hope for a fool than for him. And Proverbs 10 verse 19 says, when words are many, sin is not absent. But he who holds his tongue is wise. In fact, God wants us to be like Jesus, to have the right words at the right time. Sometimes words of rebuke. Often words of encouragement. Always, always, always words of love. When we're angry, we sometimes need to count to 10 before we speak. When we're joking, be 100% sure that the person can take the joke. When encouraging, we're not just flattering, but we're expressing genuine appreciation. Look to Jesus with the woman caught in adultery. He paused before he spoke, got down and wrote in the ground. However, with the religious hypocrites, he spoke in anger and with passion and told them that they were a brood of vipers, which is a big insult in the New Testament times. So it comes on to, we should be slow to become angry. Slow to become angry. Now there are times when we are right to be angry. Jesus got angry. He was angry with the money changers in the temple, as I said on Thursday. Do you realize that the temple of the Gentiles that Jesus cleared was about the size of Trafalgar Square? Huge. And Jesus cleared it all with a makeshift whip. He was angry. He was furious. And I believe the church often fails because we don't get angry enough. Rather, some Christians are plenty angry enough, but at the wrong things. I remember the angriest church meeting I ever went to when I was younger was a discussion about allowing women to speak in church. Each person spoke with absolute conviction on both sides that they were absolutely right. Each used scripture, but rather like a club to make their point. Each questioned the other's spirituality and experience for holding such a view that was opposite to theirs. And each threatened resignation over the issue unless the church was obedient to God, which just happened to be on their side. Other churches I've known have real animosity because chairs were rearranged for a youth service, or the minister introduced a new hymn book. Another church nearly split one Sunday because the piano was moved from one side of the church to the other. But the worst example comes from two churches in Kent that I came across. Same denomination, same town, who would not join together in mission or worship because one church did not warn the other church of the invasion of the Danes. These are true examples. And people outside the Church of Christ are dying and going to hell because the people inside the church are paralyzed from action because of their anger for each other. Now again, I'm not saying that's the case for this church, but there are churches where that is the case. And yet we don't get angry at the right things. Weapons of war are one of the world's greatest industries. And children are dying each day without food in their stomachs, and that should make us angry. Millions are won each week on the lottery, while the homeless still do not have shelters to live in, while people are looking for places to live as they leave Ukraine in their millions. That should make us angry. Thousands have died in Ukraine in these past weeks. That should make us angry. My friends, it is time to get angry with sin. And not with each other, not with the trivial, not with the small, not with the insignificant. Remember, Jesus got angry with sin and still gets angry with sin. And we should be a people who get angry with sin too. Slowly, because it is considered anger. One coming from the Father above, who is angry at the sin that allows every child to die of neglect. How do we know when we are right to become angry? Because we will be quick to listen, slow to speak, and that will make us slow to become angry. Let's pray together. Again, let us take time just to be still and reflect. If we know of times when we've not been quick to listen, Father, forgive us. If we've been quick to speak when we should have kept silent, Father, forgive us. When we've been quick to get angry at the wrong things and far too slow to get angry at the right things, Father, forgive us. And I thank you, Father, that you do forgive us. You do not treat us as our sins deserve. You separate them from us as far as the east is from the west. And for this we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.